There's a reason for that, and that people would say, oh my gosh, this is a lot more dangerous than people told us about. That's why there is never a CNN poll or New York Times poll on this. There's this advisory committee on immunization practices or something like that. It's called the ACIP committee. And I submitted comments to that committee saying, hey, look, here's what I found over the past 3 months looking at this. And I think these are pretty serious issues you guys should look at. You know, here's how we calculated the number of excess deaths. We calculated five different ways. We really think you should look at that. We think we should have autopsies, actually, you know, just to confirm Peter Schumacher's result. I submitted that to the FDA. A panel didn't read it. Prior to the vote. So they vote on these vaccines to say, yeah, they're safe. And then maybe they read the public comments later, but I've heard they don't read them at all. So the public comment process for these committees, it's to give you the sense that they're listening, but they're not really, because we never heard from them. We had a, you know, prompt the FDA to take a look at it. And so we prompted the FDA and they responded. We said that we believe that the data from VAERS that you referenced was not properly interpreted. So they're going back to their thing that we started with, which was, hey, you can't determine causality from VAERS. And we already disproved that. So they're still harping on this false viewpoint that, you can't figure out anything from VAERS. So therefore, your analysis is not valid. But they didn't actually read what I submitted, because I said, hey, you know, if you don't like this, then we've got like four other ways that we got the same number. And all they did is we said, well, we don't like your VAERS analysis, so, you know, we think you misinterpreted it. And that was it. That was the end of the conversation. I gave them 30 pages of stuff. They gave me back about a paragraph. So we asked, hey, can we talk to your VAERS expert? No answer from the FDA on that one. Now, I did talk to John Hsu, who is the CDC expert, and it turns out my emails to CDC are blocked. He never got any of my emails. So I called him on the phone. He picked up the phone, and we had a nice chat for about 7 minutes. He said, no, you're misinterpreting the VAERS data. VAERS can't be used for causality. And I said, well, you know, we disagree. And so hopefully we will talk again. I'm certainly open to it. But there's just no way he's right. You know, I've talked to a lot of people about this and say, hey, this is what he says. You know, is there any possible way? And I'm just not getting that confirmed by anybody. You know, it's one thing to say these things, but you know, and to say, oh, you can't possibly do that. Well, if I can't do that, then how come I got the same answer as my buddies did, doing it completely independently, not even telling me, and then coming up with the answer and saying, yeah, it actually matched your number pretty closely. So, you know, this comes down to who do you believe? Do you believe me or do you believe everybody else? And it's like, and it's not me, it's, you know, there are like dozens of other people who will say this. In fact, you know, look, 40% of America doesn't want to get vaccinated. Now, a lot of them, you know, don't quite know the reasons, and they wouldn't tell you 200,000 people have died. So we're getting to the 200,000 people died. Okay, so do you believe me and my friends, or do you believe everybody else? I mean, all of medical academia, Congress, mainstream media, NIH, CDC, you know, three-letter agencies, all the social media companies, the medical association, the medical journals, doctors, governments worldwide, all the fact-checker organizations, WHO, Wikipedia, people like Eric Topol and our former major donors of CTF and our former scientific advisory board all quit when I started speaking out about the truth about vaccines. And I asked them, hey, you got any data that actually shows I'm wrong? And they said, no, we just don't want to talk. We think you're wrong and we don't want to talk to you again. Now, this is not the way to persuade people that they're wrong. You don't just tell them that they're wrong and say, you're wrong and I'm never going to talk to you again. If you really want to persuade people like me not to speak out about against the vaccine, then you have to look at my analysis and show me how I got it wrong. And nobody was willing to do that. They just said, you're a bad person, you got it wrong, and we never want to talk to you again, and don't even bother to talk to us again, and take us off your website. That's how I was treated. So I lost a lot of friends over this. You know, I've got nothing to gain in this by telling the truth. In fact, I've lost lots of friends over this, and so I have no incentive here. I'm not making any money on this. There's no conflict of interest. I'm just doing this because this is the truth. This is what I found, and I had a lot of people who are really smart that basically found the same thing. And so usually when people don't believe me, they say, look, I didn't have the time. They say, I just don't have the time to read what you wrote. And even if I did have the time, I wouldn't be able to understand it because I'm not an expert on VAERS and I don't know what all these things mean. And this is, I'm not an expert on vaccines. I don't understand the mechanism of action. So I'll just go with the majority of people. And that's pretty easy to do. You look at this list and you say, hey, everybody in Congress except for Ron Johnson and Tom Massey. Okay, you know, everybody in mainstream media, New York Times, blah, blah, blah. Nobody agrees with me. And so therefore, I cannot be right because all of these people disagreed. Now, I don't think that's a great way to make an argument, right? I like to argue with the data. I'm kind of like Chris Martinson, one of my favorite guys. And he's like all about, show me the data, you know, convince me with the data. Don't just say, well, 10 of us think this and you're the all, you know, the sole guy who thinks that's not true. Look, I don't respond to numbers like that. I respond to numbers in the data. I don't respond to numbers of people who have an opinion. Now, there are experts who are self-proclaimed VAERS experts and so forth. They've never spent, I talk to these people and they read me the VAERS Bill of Rights, you know, that VAERS shall not be used for this. Anyone can report into VAERS. Blah, 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 they're not verified, blah, blah, blah. And if I had a dime for everyone who told me how VAERS works, I would be like a millionaire many times over. I'm exaggerating. But the point is that people are very fond of explaining to me how VAERS works. Guys, I know how VAERS works. I've like spent my last 3 months on VAERS like every day. And I actually read the records. And so lecturing me on how VAERS works is a pretty losing proposition. And whenever I talk to these people who tell me how VAERS works, I said, have you ever looked at a VAERS record? No. Well, so how do you explain like the dose dependency here, right? Because isn't that show causality? I don't know, I'll get back to you on that. You know, and this is what it's like. So again, you want to convince me, don't just say I'm wrong. You have to actually have the data that shows me why I'm wrong. Or you show me a better results. So their argument is that, look, you can't be right because the government says you can't determine causality from VAERS. And we already went through that at the very beginning. The government was wrong. And so, you know, and they presume that the government would never lie to people on this stuff. I used to think the government never lied. Now I'm not, you know, now I'm a lot more skeptical. So the people who do not believe me generally have four things in common. They have no clue as to the number of dead people. Because I asked them, I said, look, hey, if I got it wrong, what's the right number? Well, we don't know. Well, if you don't know, then how could I be wrong? Okay, so the next thing is they're always afraid of a challenge. So if I say, look, I bet you $1 million I'm right, nobody takes my bet. If I say, hey, let's go on recorded Zoom call so we can, you know, get the arguments out in the open and the public can see this. Now, don't want to do that. So I can never get them to accept a challenge. And especially if we're prominent. Like I'll email Monica Gandhi, I'll say, hey, let's have a debate. You know, you just said this and I kind of disagree with that. Never, they never respond. Z Dog, you know, goes on and says, hey, let me dispute the three miss. So I say, hey, Z Dog, you know, let's have a debate. I'll even, you know, throw in some money if you win. And no response. I email him directly in his private email, no response. These guys don't want to be challenged. That's the one thing that's in common. The other thing is they never read what I wrote. So, you know, I produce 600 pages of documentation. I don't expect everybody to read the 600 pages, but, you know, some of these analyses are, you know, maybe 10 pages long for a particular thing that they might be attacking. They never read actually what I wrote. They just attack it without reading it. And I kind of like, I respond to people who actually, if they're going to attack me, at least give me the courtesy of reading what I wrote. And even better is to say, hey, yeah, I read what you wrote and here's my analysis. And, you know, because you made a sign error here or whatever. And the fourth thing that they have is they believe the experts. They say, I'm not qualified to do this. I believe the experts and I have trust in the experts. And boy, that is really problematic because what we have here is everybody's trusting the next level up. I'm trusting, oh, the AMA and the AMA is trusting blah, blah, blah. And everybody, you know, and it goes down to the root of trust. So John Su is analyzing the Verisk data and he says, blah, 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 blah. And you cannot blah, 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 blah. Well, if John is wrong, then there's a ripple effect throughout society on this because one guy was wrong. And everybody trusts the CDC and all this. And there's this, you know, this huge amount of trust in the CDC. And so if John is wrong on his assumption and nobody checks his work, it can have devastating effects throughout the world. And it can cause these vaccine mandates to exist when they shouldn't. So this is really problematic. Now, there are lots of reasons that you should believe me. My arguments make sense. My hypothesis fit the data and their hypothesis doesn't. Nobody will tell me their number and show me their analysis. They can't explain how Dr. Schirmacher messed up. He's one of the top guys in the world. He's essentially risking his entire reputation for the rest of time on his results. Now, he has no incentive to lie or deceive people. He's one of the top pathologists in the world. He's risking his entire reputation on this. And he's saying this vaccine, basically, because it kills, because of the people who die afterwards, is like, it's a killing machine. And so then they go and they try to discredit him immediately after he makes the statement saying, oh, you can't prove that. Well, come on, guys. If you're going to go and attack a top pathologist, you need a guy who's above him to do that. And he has to go and look at the bodies and he has to go look at the evidence. So what happens is they just attack him saying, oh, you can't do that. Right? They don't look at the evidence and they don't explain why you can't do that. Now, you know, Peter's not going to risk his career on a lie. You know, just like I'm not, like I have no incentive here. They can't explain away any of these anecdotes. They use hand-waving techniques over 600 pages of analysis they can't attack. The phase 3 trials for all of the drugs actually prove they increase morbidity, statistically significant. You're not supposed to have vaccines which increase morbidity, like which cripple you. That's not how the way it works. But all these trials did, and like nobody's looking. And you can go click on this and you'll see the results summarized. And Pfizer, of course, 6-month study showed, hey, more deaths if you got the drug. Vaccine mandates are wrong. There's just no way around that. So how do you tell which side is telling the truth? Okay, so you got dogmatic and pro-censorship on one side saying vaccines, 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 the only way. We need to censor anyone who goes against this narrative. That is the only way. We can't engage these people because they're irrational. Now, yeah, I'm on the other side, people who risk losing their careers and their livelihoods. Like I had to leave my job at M10 and give I'm like left half my stock on the table because I had to leave early because I was more or less forced to leave. And we can talk about that later. But I basically gave up, you know, millions of dollars worth of stock in order to advance our understanding of an issue. Why would I do that? Well, because I want to save lives. That's it. Now, somebody sent me this. I don't remember who it was. Which is, a truth does not mind being questioned, and a lie does not like being challenged. And, you know, I always think back to this, that these people who are saying all this stuff about safe and effective, they never want to be challenged. I mean, I could dangle $1 million reward and say, hey, Tony, I will donate $1 million to a charity of your choice, Tony Fauci, I'll donate $1 million to charity of your choice if you win the debate. It doesn't matter. He will never debate us. He will never debate us. And this is a guy, Tony Fauci is a guy who was quoted in the media as saying, hey, if I disagree with somebody, I'll talk to them and I'll discuss the issues with them. But he's never going to take a debate with us because he would lose very badly on all the points. And so he's the most important guy to take down here, but he's not going to debate. Nobody from the CDC is going to debate us. Eric Topol is never going to debate us. None of these people that are spinning the false narrative is ever going to debate us because they know they'll lose. I mean, we went into, we had a Zoom call with the top people at Stanford. And we said, look, you know, here's the death data. It doesn't make sense to have a mandate for your students because you'll be killing more students than you're saving. And the data is clear. Here it is. And they said, hey, look, we don't disagree with you, but the decision is made above our level. And I have tons of witnesses that they said this. Basically, look, we're going to sacrifice kids' lives. We're going to mandate that they get a vaccine, which kills more students than it will save. But the decision was made above our level, and they said it was unproductive to continue the conversation because it didn't matter because the decision was already made above their level. So they weren't interested in learning more. They weren't interested in exploring this. They didn't say that we were wrong. They could point out no errors in what we did. They're just going to let the kids die because the decision was made above them, and that's it. And you can't make up stories like this. This is horrible. Again, truth, like, we're the guys who want to debate. We want to debate all these people, and they will not debate us. I would love to be on CNN, but I'm never going to be on CNN, folks. It's never going to happen. Because CNN is all about, you know, Chris Cuomo, and he's debating some congressman who, you know, there was this congressman who basically, he already got COVID and he didn't want to vaccinate. And Chris Cuomo is beating on him and saying, you need to get vaccinated. And the guy is right. And Chris Cuomo is wrong. But Chris Cuomo is not, you know, he's like picking on, why don't you pick on somebody your own size, Chris? You know, and when they talked about ivermectin, they had three talking heads on ivermectin, and all of them were saying like, oh, you know, it's a horse medicine, shouldn't be used, all this stuff. They never actually had anybody from the other side, like Pierre Corey. Like, why isn't Pierre Corey on CNN? Because you're not going to hear anybody competent on the other side to argue the other side of it. Because CNN is not about it, you know, I used to think it was fair and balanced. I used to watch CNN all the time. I thought it was great. I'm a big time Democrat. I've been a Democratic donor. I'm like watching CNN now, and I'm pretty appalled just because I know so much about this vaccine and how these CNN is not giving you a fair story at all. They're basically not letting the people like us. And people like us means, you know, Robert Malone, the inventor of the mRNA vaccine, Peter McCullough, Byron Brittle, you know, these people. And we just can't get challenged. Okay, so nobody will debate us. Nobody will bet us. There was a Maddie Desgarais. She's 12 years old. She entered in the 12 to 15 year old clinical trial of Pfizer. 48 hours, or sorry, less than 24 hours after her second dose of the vaccine, she couldn't walk. She's now paralyzed, probably for life. She can't feel from her waist down. She has to eat through a feeding tube. She can't hold her head up. The kid's life is destroyed. She never heard from Pfizer, not even like a, hey, get well card or, you know, sympathies, nothing, not even a dollar from Pfizer. She's reported as having stomach pain, not being paralyzed for life. And this is, 1,000 kids are in this study, and one of them is likely paralyzed for life. But it doesn't get reported that way as a paralysis for life. It just gets reported as mild abdominal pain. And when I asked the head of the FDA to investigate, Janet Woodcock, she said, promised that she would have people investigate. Nobody ever called the family. Nobody ever emailed the family. Nobody from the CDC or the FDA ever investigated. Nobody from the mainstream media would dare investigate this case because it would blow the whole thing up. It would show that the vaccines are not as safe as they portrayed it. So the New York Times is never going to cover this. CNN's never going to cover this. 60 Minutes is never going to touch the story because it's too hot to handle. It would break the entire false narrative. And when I talked to this guy, Jeffrey Morris, he's a biostats professor at UPenn. And I said, hey, well, you know, like fraud in the clinical trial, phase three clinical trial. You're not supposed to have fraud. And there are lots of other reasons that we think there's fraud. But, you know, this one was really clear cut. Paralyzed girl gets reported as abdominal pain. He says, well, you know, you didn't really prove that. I said, let me send you the medical records. Well, no, it's not clear that there probably has to be settled in a court of law. And I said, yeah, well, that would take like 5 years. So you're basically not going to believe it until it's settled in a court of law. Yeah, well, it's not in the peer-reviewed literature, so, you know, we discount that. Okay, so reality doesn't count for these people. And then when we went to Jeffrey Morris, we talked to him about, hey, here's the dose one, dose two data. Look, it's different between dose one and dose two, dose dependency, that's causality. Well, let's talk about something else. That's what you get here. It is, I am just so frustrated. No autopsies. Like, when did you see an autopsy in the U.S. on somebody who dies after getting the vaccine? It's like discouraged. They don't want to do autopsies. And I talked to a medical examiner. She said she's the only one in her state that's actually clued in that the vaccines cause death. And she said, hey, we don't have the tools. We don't have the tests. We don't have the training. We don't have the skills to actually do this COVID vaccine autopsy and determine it was caused by COVID. This is why it has to be done by Peter in Germany, because he's like, you know, the top of his class. He's got all these specialized tools and stuff. But the average pathologist doing an autopsy in the U.S. on a dead COVID vaccine patient, they're not going to find anything, okay, for that reason. And so the autopsies, which normally are the gold standard for determining cause of death, actually can't be used. So we're back to VAERS. That is the gold standard here. And when we analyze it, there's just no way that anyone will debate us on the VAERS stuff. Nobody will set a stop condition. Like, how many people have to die after getting this vaccine? Like, you know, normally there'd be a stopping condition. There'd be like 50 deaths. They'd stop it. You know, if four people die in, like for Tesla, if you got a Tesla, and there are four deaths from the autopilot, they'll like say, hey, you know, we got to shut this down, or we got to recall it, or you have to, you know, do this, like, you know, for four deaths. Hey, for the vaccine, 200,000 people, no problem at all. You know, I asked members of Congress, I said, hey, What do you think the stopping condition should be on this? It should be 50 patients, 50 people died, 100 people died, 200. No answer. They will not answer the question. So they won't set a stopping condition. The FDA set a stopping condition? No way. There's no stopping condition for these vaccines. These vaccines can kill millions of people, and there is no stopping condition. And there's nobody in Congress which will raise their hand and say, well, we killed a million people. They don't do that because that would be anti-science. So FDA is not going to set it. CDC won't. Another reason you should believe me is the science and mechanism of action. If you look in the peer-reviewed literature and, you put two and two together, it's all consistent with everything that you saw in VAERS, right? So the mechanism of action for how this thing works and gets into, inflammatory in your brain, in your heart, all that, consistent with myocarditis, consistent with pulmonary embolism, consistent with stroke, consistent with intracranial hemorrhaging, like all this stuff is consistent. My story is consistent. Theirs isn't. John Hsu, when he reports things in VAERS, he reports things as if it's 100%, that VAERS is 100% reported. He doesn't multiply by 40 or 100 like he should be doing. He's just saying, hey, there are three reports in VAERS and there have been like 100 million, 260, 360 million doses. And therefore, that's like, do the math. And he never multiplies it up. So when they're saying that, well, we only had a few cases. No, we like had 100 times as many cases as they thought, which is a complete train wreck. Lots of VAERS reports. Most people have never gone into VAERS and actually read the reports. And they would, if they did that, they would convince themselves that VAERS is quite on the level. The CDC, the FDA can answer my ASIP comment. The data doesn't fit their narrative, fits mine. I do not rely on fact checkers. I do my own research. So if I read something from a fact checker, normally it's wrong. Sad to say. Nobody would challenge me. The fact checkers won't challenge me. Washington Post, when I report error in their fact check of Senator Johnson, they simply ignore me. They just don't like, they just hit delete. When you complain about a fact check in the Washington Post, it is hit delete. They will not engage you. And so I said, okay, hey, let's take Crawford's analysis. Matthew Crawford, he did this great analysis, 35% of the world's population. So I said, this looks pretty good. I don't see a problem in this. It's pretty straightforward. It makes sense. And you find a number which is comparable to what I found. I'm pretty sure it's right. But let's make sure. So I basically offered $1 million bounty to any academic. And as $1 million, it's an unrestricted grant. Okay, anyone in academia would kill for an unrestricted grant of $1 million that they can do whatever they want with. You don't even have to apply for a grant. All they have to do is find a hole in Matthew's analysis. And it's an important thing, right? Because if he's wrong, then we want to know. Nobody found an error to claim the $1 million bounty. Okay. There's no alternative analysis showing a different number. They just basically say, hey, you can't do this because the CDC hasn't, and you can't verify this, and therefore, all these reports must be background deaths because there are no verified deaths. Yeah. Anyway, so there's no flaws. Israel's cases are through the roof while India's are way down. So how do they explain that? So, I mean, here is the inconvenient truth. Vaccination is making things worse. Just like Gerd VandenBosch predicted, he said, hey, vaccinate in the middle of a pandemic, you're gonna see it's going to be problematic. It's going to get worse. So this is Israel. So here's the start of when COVID started in the world. And you can see Israel had the things under control. And things went out of control and then went down. So now here they're starting their vaccination program. And interesting, this is just the cases. So the cases went down, interesting. Okay, and stayed down. But now the cases have gone up. And here's where the cases are today. So the cases today are higher than they have ever been in their history. And they're on their third dose. They're giving everyone boosters. They're like They're vaccinating babies in Israel. They are one of the most vaccinated places on the planet. Look at the number of cases in Israel. It's at an all-time high. Inconvenient truth. Now, this is on Google. You can verify this yourself. India has a 9% vaccination rate. Cases are way down in India. Do you see the difference? Inconvenient truth. Here's another example. Israel, the only country giving third shot for everyone age 12 and above. COVID passports, multiple lockdowns, mask mandates. Look at how Israel's doing. Look at how Sweden is doing. Sweden has no boosters, no COVID passports, no lockdowns, and no masks. What does that tell you? Well, here's the data. I don't know. It kind of looks to me like what Israel is doing is not working. That's kind of what it looks to me like.